The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hey, hello friends, it's Danielle, and the gates to the Rose Garden are open. In previous episodes and all over social media, you've heard me say Black Lives Matter. But today, I'm so excited to talk about Black life. Black life matters, Black mommies matter, Black babies matter, Black birthing stories matter. I'm thrilled to welcome our guests, two women who can teach us all about the birthing experience. Can you guys please introduce yourselves and tell us what is Birth Stories in Color podcast?
Hello. Thanks for having us. I'm Laurel Gurrier, one of the creators and hosts of Birth Stories in Color.
And I'm Danielle Jackson, also a host of Birth Stories in Color. Birth Stories in Color is a community of Black women, Latina women, Asian women, Indigenous, all the people who consider what some may say people of color. And we share our stories, not just the highs and lows, of course, but just everything in between as well. So that there's an opportunity to share an oral history that allows people to be educated and understand the unique experiences that women are having in birth, whether it's a home birth, a hospital birth, all the things that happen before getting pregnant for some women, that's all a part of their birth story as well, and includes our postpartum. So,
and where are you guys located?
We're in Columbus, Ohio.
And how long have you all been doing the Birth Stories in Color podcast?
Is it 3 years or 4 years now?
Three?
I think, will it be four in December?
I think it'll be four.
December. Yeah. Wow, we're going to be four.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. That's why we don't even know. It's just all
right.
So how did you guys get here, Danielle and Laurel? How did you all decide that this was your project and your mission?
Yeah, this story is always funny to me, just like how the world connects. Danielle and I had been connected through other birth workers and had been having some conversations online, but had never met each other. And then I was doing a baby expo. We were both doing a baby expo and finally met each other. And it just felt like we were in sync from that time. Like we were like, hi, yes. Oh my gosh. So excited to meet you. All these things, it just really felt like it was a short conversation. And then we ended up doing a doulas of color training together. And during the training, we would be talking about different aspects of being a doula and how to support families. And it was just crazy how many people started sharing their own experiences and wanting to connect their own birth experiences to other people. So, I mean, you know, you'd have one person who would say something, the next would be like, oh, that happened to me too, or that happened to my cousin, or just needing a place to like spill out what birth and what their experience had been like, to the point that, you know, like there were times where, you know, the instructor was having some trouble like reeling it back in. She definitely allowed space for it, but you could just tell that like people were bursting at the seams. And so during a break, Danielle and I were chit-chatting, and then we both kind of were like, there needs to be a place for this. There needs to be something where, you know, Black and other families and other people of color can like share their birth stories. We had no idea what that would look like, but we just were both on the same page about it, started Googling like, okay, what can we do? Podcast came up. Everybody was doing a podcast. We were like, all right, well, I guess we're going to start a podcast. And that's like how it began and how it's been beautiful to watch how it's all come together and how receptive people are to it and how important it is for us, but watching and having other people tell us that it's important for them too.
So, Laurel, what is your background?
So I, before birth work and even in between, I was a special education teacher. Now I do some special education family advocacy, working with the families as they're navigating the whole special education realm. So, oh, yeah.
Black educators matter, of course, always. Danielle, yeah. What's your background?
So my background was actually as an early childhood specialist. And then I went into being a stay-at-home mom, went into birth work. So I've been a doula since 2016 now.
What is a doula? I want to, before we kind of get into some of the questions, I want to create a foundation for people who are not familiar with birth work. I'm taking notes for people who are not familiar with birth work so that we can start to use the language appropriately. So for people who don't know a doula versus a midwife, what are some of those differences?
Yeah, usually like when I describe it, you know, your elevator pitch for what it is, the work that you do, I like to say we're like birthing coaches. We are kind of like the behind the scenes of it all, doing that emotional prep, that educational prep. Sometimes it's physical prep from the beginning, like meeting with you prenatally to help you kind of prepare for your experience. And then, you know, during your birth, we're there to kind of be a guide and a bridge between you and your care providers about what your experience will look like. And like I said, sometimes that involves physical support. So position changes, massages, having the partner or support, other support person be able to help with that. And then in the postpartum realm, really just helping with that transition and whatever comes up as you're working in that. So sometimes it could be just coming to watch baby so you can take a shower, or teaching you how to swaddle, or, you know, here's some dietary shifts for you as you're healing. But yeah, we're the behind the scenes. Many of us don't work in a scope of doing the medical part. So we're not doing, for some of us within our scope, not doing cervical exams or any of that. But if a baby was to, you know, pop out in a car, we got you. We try not to get there, but.
Right. Let's not get there. So Laura and I both work for an organization here locally that's called Root, Restoring Our Own Through Transformation. And so when she gives her elevator pitch about doulas and what it is, like there's another side of that where there are a lot of doula organizations, especially rooted in reproductive justice, which is where we are. And so on top of all those other things, we also support advocacy, helping our clients understand their rights, their choice, helping them find their voice, and allowing them to, you know more about what their options are throughout their birth process from beginning to end. So
let's talk about reproductive justice and how we got here in this moment. Why as Black women and as women of color in this country, why is it important to start to create the space to talk about the birthing process?
You know, just to be very blatant and honest about it, racism is rooted in everything. It's rooted in our day-to-day lived experiences. It's rooted in our educational systems. It's rooted in our, and when you specifically think about growing and expanding your family, it's rooted in the medical system. And so how does that affect you being able to have a positive experience and also walking away from it with your life and your baby's life? So that's, you know, just to be very clear and frank about it, like, you know, when we're working under that reproductive justice lens, we're looking at how does all of that affect the experiences of our families, you know, because specifically as Black individuals, we're walking into the scenario with other things that, you know, trauma, all of stress lives in your body. So when you're trying to grow a whole human, you have to think about those layers and what that does to be able to have a full term labor, to be able to stray from complications. All of that we take into consideration of how we're supporting our families.
Why do you think that the mortality rate is what it is for women of color in this country? Like, racism, yes, but what specifically is happening to women during the birthing process that is somehow, like you said, diminishing or lessening the chances of them walking away with their lives and their baby's lives?
I mean, you have care providers who aren't listening to, you know, if I'm walking into a visit and I'm saying my ankles have been swollen for 3 days, dismissing actually taking the time to assess why your ankles have been swollen for 3 days, lessening your conversations about the pain that you're feeling. Just, I think, you know, it's so interesting. We were talking about recently with one of our guests about how you go into a care provider's office and you're meeting 4 or 5 different people at a time. Like, you don't even actually be able to get a chance to establish a relationship with your actual care provider. So how can you take care of me if you don't actually know all the things that this pregnancy or this birth has entailed? And, you know, unconscious biases. Like, I mean, what's even being taught in medical school about how to support Black people and Black birthing people is not accurate. So
What's the biggest misconception people have about the birthing process?
And we talked about this a little bit. One thing we would say is just what Laura was talking about, the idea that you're going to be meeting with your provider and getting this one-on-one attachment and conversation every time you go in. And you may only see your provider for 5 minutes, you know, and that's not even being, you know, me being extra like that. I mean, you're probably going to get about 15 minutes and it's going to be with a doctor, a nurse, or a medical assistant that's going to be within that whole 15 minutes, right? So you just don't have enough time. And then the other thing is people assuming either the most extreme highs of birth being this most dramatic thing that could ever happen versus the extremes of butterflies and rainbows, right? So, and that birth is all those things and everything in between that.
How has storytelling helped expand people's understandings as you meet these different families and all of them are just really grateful to have the space to express themselves and like get their experience out in the open and like let it sit there? Because it's one thing to walk around with your experience in your mind. You know what it feels like. You know what it feels like. But for someone to, it's almost like when Danielle and I saw each other and we were like, hi, Danielle. Hi. Like the fact that someone sees me fully and like I get to share my story and somebody's like, oh my God, that happened to you. Whether it was like a really, really high rainbows and sunshines or whether it was like something that you really fought through. Although I'm sure one could argue that all of it is a fight. The great fight. But like, how have these storytelling and meeting all these different families and hearing these different stories help people work through some of those misconceptions or broaden their understanding of the birth story?
I mean, I think it's just what you said. It's someone who sees you and it's the real experience. Like we have, it's literally us just sitting and listening. Okay, tell us. Just from beginning to end, let us know what happened. And so there's no chance for it to be like, oh, well, maybe that did or maybe it didn't. Like, no, this is exactly what you said and this is exactly what happened. And so people actually get to hear and then visualize like, oh, that's what birth can look like. And every single one of our stories is different. Like, yeah, there's a broad idea of what birth will look like and how you ebb and flow through it, but based on your life, who you are, what's going on, it's going to have twists and turns. And so people get to hear, like, this is the reality of it without it being the extremes that we're seeing on movies or that we hear from people that, you know, want to only focus on one part. But, like, this is the reality of that experience.
And you guys have had an opportunity to interview families that have experienced all kind of births?
We have. We have had from unassisted home birth to, you know, birth center, home birth with a midwife, home birth, you know, hospital births with midwives, hospital births with OBGYNs, with partners, without partners. There's been just so many different ways to experience it. And part of that, too, adding to what Laura was saying, is people are learning that in our space that they can tell the whole story. Just like you said, it's not just, you know, the parts that are digestible, right? So we're so used to, especially as Black people in this country, minimizing, not making things out to be as big as they may have been at the time, but they're allowed and just feel the freedom to tell the whole story and that knowing that it's valid.
I had a friend who told me that she was traumatized because of her birth story. Her doctor made her have a C-section and she did not want to have a C-section. And she afterwards, like this was just like during a random visit, she was like, I'm really traumatized from that. And I feel like my experience was taken from me. And I in a million years of all the things that you could imagine, like a new mom talking about, I never expected to hear that. I never expected to hear that there are some people who feel that their experience was like they were robbed of their experience because they did not have a voice in their process. Have you all spoken to families who feel that same way?
Absolutely. We have definitely had stories like that. And what comes out of those stories is not, I think that the space allows for some healing and some processing. If they haven't done that already, we have had some people who have shared that story or working through healing that. And we've had some people who've shared those type of experiences. And this is the first time that they've actually talked about it.
Yes.
So there's the ability to find healing and processing, talking to us through that. But then also for many of them, it's like, I'm sharing this so that somebody else doesn't have to walk through that same experience, that they know that they have a voice or that this is what they can do to shift that. So using it also as a tool of empowerment, learning, and a resource. And again, like the whole building community around, okay, this is what happened to me, but I'm going to help shift the other narrative for somebody else.
And my friend ended up, she was able to conceive and have future children in the future. She changed doctors. And she said that she, for her future birth, well, her births that happened after, she said it was way better. She said the experience was much better. She felt heard and she was able to have the experience that she wanted.
Another thing I would add too is that the community is for, you know, Black women, women of color to share, families of color to share. But some of our listeners are actual providers. They're midwives and doctors and labor and delivery nurses, other doulas and birth workers. So these are also learning tools. You know, they get to hear the real accounts and how they can better serve. And we've had those direct quotes from those providers being sent to us and shared with us.
Come on, professional development.
Right.
So speaking of people involved in birth work and growing in their practice, how have the role of Black doulas changed in the birthing process in this country? Like there was a time where people were delivering babies at home. My mom was born at home. And then there seemed to be like a shift where it wasn't about having a home birth, but it was like having a doctor be there. It's not just having the person in your family or in the community that can deliver babies. It's like going to a specific setting and having a specific person deliver the baby. How have doulas, how's the role evolved over time? And do you think doulas are making a comeback?
You know, I wouldn't even say a comeback because no matter what, we've still been doing the work. It just hasn't been popular.
Or called by that name because
right.
Every family has a doula.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It's
right.
The aunt that goes
right.
To all the births and takes
right.
Care of all the mamas when the babies come. There's culture and there's tradition here for us still. And when people say we don't have culture, especially as Black people in America, you know, specifically as descendants of slaves, we have culture, we have tradition. And it is in doula work and it is in birth work. You can specifically see it.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even, yeah, we've been doing it. We still doing it. It's just now popular for everyone else to be putting patents and certificates and all of that stuff on it. And I'm not going to knock like getting the education and all of that's important, but we've been doing that.
Yes, and there's even been like a recent article that was what a white woman talking about her black doula, and that was like the title, Meet My Black Doula. I mean, it's just like at this point, it's becoming like we're popular to say the least. And I think for black doulas specifically, the work that we do or have chosen, because every black doula is not choosing to be a reproductive justice doula, but there is a growth in a lot of black doulas that has shifted our mission, our intention, and who we want people to know who we are. And so we are seeing more of a turn towards that, more of a reproductive justice change agent versus just being the rainbows and butterflies. And there's nothing wrong with choosing what you want to get involved in. It's not at all a knock to any other, you know, doula, a black woman, Latina woman, or whatever, what type of birth work they choose to do. It's just that there has been a shift in how a lot of people choose to serve and who we choose to serve.
In 2020, do you find that families are seeking out the services of doulas more now than they have in maybe like the 2000s?
I would say yes for that. Or recognizing those in their families who can serve them in that capacity. I think because it got popularized and there was a price to it, we didn't think it was something that we were worthy of or could afford or even knew was happening. And I will say with it being in the mainstream, it has allowed for many people to be like, oh, I need that. That's important for my experience. So maybe I do need to call Auntie Crystal and tell her, can she come to this birth? Or maybe I do need to hire a doula. And even with that, I think it also helps like the shift for the whole family, because specifically with us as root doulas, like we're looking at how the experience affects everyone within that transition. So with our families, you know, it's helped birthing, but not only the birthing person, but also the support partners and partners understand the value that it has for their experience with it as well. Because some people just see like, oh, the doula is just there for the birthing person. No, we're there for everybody. It's a huge transition for everyone, and everyone's going to change from whatever that experience looks like.
It's really interesting as a person who has not yet had any children, as I listen to you describe what you do in the realm of birth work, and as like a birthing coach, it reminds me of when I was getting married and having a wedding planner. And the difference between having like a wedding planner and a day of coordinator, the person who marries you, when you walk down the aisle, you see that person that moment when you walk down the aisle. That's not the person helping you figure out seating arrangements. That's not the person that's helping you pick out your flowers. That's not the person that's walking you through these invitations and all the nuance involved with the process. That's just the person that's actually there to do the marriage. So like, who helps you with all that other stuff? If you have someone in your family that has had this role informally, that is great. That's the person that, like, if you get married, okay, we're gonna call Auntie so-and-so, they're gonna help us. But if you don't have that person in your family, there are resources available and people available so that you don't have to do this alone, and so that you can have a birthing experience that can help you and your family, like your whole ecosystem, pull everybody into this experience, because you're not going to be the same. You're not going to be the same. Your family's not going to be, it's not going to be the same. Go ahead, Danielle.
I was just going to add that you don't have to choose between the auntie and the doula, that you can have both. Yes. And it's all part of the team, right?
Right.
We're all right.
Exactly.
Come on, team. And I love the super team. I love it when the Avengers assemble.
Okay.
I love a super team. So how have you all changed since launching the podcast? So first of all, shout out to all the Women of Color podcasters. Like, I think that's how I kind of saw your page, like getting involved in that group, and even on Instagram, seeing all of these black podcasters, because we have stories to tell and we love creating space for people to tell their stories so that we can heal. Come on, oral histories and healing and professional development. Right? You know what I'm saying? So like, how have you guys changed since launching the podcast? Did you ever think you would be podcast hostesses of birth stories? Like, did you ever think this?
Not, you know, this is so funny. I was, when I first was thinking about going to school, I said I wanted to do journalism, broadcast journalism. I got to college and was like, I'm not trying to take these English classes, so maybe that's not my route. So I went somewhere else, but I was actually talking to my husband the other day, and I'm like, look, it came back. Like, that, this is kind of like that. But no, it has been really fun to not only grow, like, in my relationship with Danielle, but again, we didn't know what we were doing. So being able, like, you know, just watching us be able to grow personally from this, like making a website, doing edits, managing a social media, all of that stuff, that like skills that I don't think we ever were like, oh, we're going to be doing this. A reminder that, yeah, we, you know, we got humans, but we also can do all this other stuff too. So personally, that's been amazing to watch. And just, I mean, as a birth worker, you know, every birth is different. You know that your experience with each family is going to teach you something, but just really being able to watch people as we as they share their stories grow, or talk about the joy in their experience, and being able to share that out, or the growth or the healing, it's just wonderful to be able to, and an honor to be able to sit in that space with them.
It has helped me with all those things, but in addition, holding boundaries and really protecting a space. There's me, you know, I can be whoever I want to be and share as much as I want to on social media as an individual. But when we think about Birth Stories in Color, the podcast, like, we welcome all the stories that fit the criteria, right? Which is being told by a voice of those who we often are voiceless. Being able to say, like, this is our stance. This is who we will not accept sponsorship from. Like, these are conversations that we've had to have. And this is like, it's bigger than just Laurel and Danielle, right? We often think of like, okay, if our listeners hear this, what will they think? Like, you know, of who we are now, right? Are we getting so big and we just let anybody come on here because they want to pay us, or they want our attention, or their name is big enough that we might? And it's like saying no, like, nope, not going to do it. You know, that has been important for me as in personal growth, right? Because that carries over, like, yeah, I don't, that's my stance on this, right? I'm sticking. So, yes, that's been definitely growth for me.
All the skills that we learn as podcasters, like a person that just wanted to have a conversation, like, we just wanted to talk. I just wanted to talk, and I just wanted to hear you. I didn't know I was going to have to create graphics and audiograms and newsletters and websites and be a coder and the email chat. Like, it's, I just wanted to talk. But, you know, we are creators. As women, as podcasters, as people, as humans, like, we have this amazing ability to create. And what we do with that superpower, come on, superpower teams, Avengers Assemble, like, what we do with that and how we help other people and help other communities is telling. So you two have impacted and influenced clearly generations from the stars as they come into this human earthly plane. Like, you have ushered generations of leaders into this space, and you have impacted families and changed communities. So thank you both for doing this out of the kindness of your heart. And I cannot wait to see how it continues to grow, because it's so important for people to have this space, for mothers to have this space, for families to have this space. And I almost can't wait to see what happens when y'all start interviewing your first babies. It's 4 years in. What? Somebody's going to be talking soon. Somebody going to have a little picture. Somebody. For those who are, for people who are interested in participating with you, following you, supporting you, how can they connect with you guys?
Yes. So we are on Facebook and Instagram at Birth Stories in Color. We have our website, course, that you can connect, and then we're on all the podcast platforms. If you ever feel led to share your story, go fill out our submission form, slide us a DM, slide us an email. And, you know, Danielle and I were actually talking about this before. As long as you fit in the parameters of who this space is for, we want to hear your story. We want to share your story out. We're not like picking and choosing which stories are going to go. If someone sends in a submission, we want to hear it. We're going to make a place for it and honor that story. So,
yes, your story is valid without feeling like you have to audition for mm-hmm. us. Make it as great as you think it needs to be to get our attention. All the stories are important, the highs and the lows and everything in between, as I said. And also, if you want to contact us, the most and best way to do that is through our website, firststoriesincolor.com, because that's the only platform we actually own. And we have to remember that as creators. And Instagram is nice, Facebook is nice, and Twitter and all the things, but our websites and our...
You see, that's who keeps us in line right there.
That's the power of partnership. That's the power of partnership.
For real. Like, yes, I think that's, like I said, building a relationship with Danielle has been beautiful, but like doing this with her, the things that she's brought out for me that not only impact how we work within this space, but like also in my own life, sometimes I'd be like, what would Danielle say if I did this? Okay, no, I'm gonna need a bigger... That partnership really goes beyond just this space. So I'm so grateful for that, for sure.
Yeah, man. I think, Danielle, I think Laurel said it best. I think we should get some shirts made that say, what would Danielle say? And I think the world...
What would Laurel do?
Come on! Partnership. What would Danielle say? What will Laurel do? I love it. I thank you guys for coming on and sharing your story and walking us through this birth work, this restorative justice angle, like all of this. Like you said, don't call it a comeback because the work never went away. The work never went away, and it is here to stay. So thank both of you ladies so much for coming onto the show. I appreciate everything that y'all do. This is D Money signing off from the Rose Garden. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you later. Bye. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.